work, so we're going to turn it over to you.
Excellent. Okay, so good afternoon. Thank you very much for the introductions. I'll introduce myself. My name is Laura McKenney. I've been with IFC for about 15 years, working in different areas of investment, and just in the past 2 years, I've taken over the leadership for this initiative that we're heading, the IFC is managing, on the Global Agriculture Food Security Program. So what I'd like to do is actually go through my slide deck. It'll only take about 20 minutes, but I want to give you a good overview of what the program, how it's set up, but then I want to do a dive into what IFC does and what we're trying to do under the global program, under GAFSP, in IFC, because as mentioned, IFC is managing the private sector window, and we are the sole supervising entity, and so it's up to us to sort of show and demonstrate how private sector investment can be enhanced and increased. Of course, just before I go into the slideshow, the challenges are huge, as you know, in this space. There's 1.2 billion people are living in extreme poverty, 870 million are undernourished, and 75% of the world's poor are living in rural areas and depend on agriculture for their livelihoods. 50% more food production is going to be needed by 2050, and we need significantly more private sector investment in agriculture. These are some of the underlying challenges that we see that brought together actually some of the funders and donors under GAFSP program. So the GAFSP program, which was mentioned, was brought together to actually address some of these challenges. So I just want to give you some high-level impacts of the program to date. So to date, under the entire program, both the public sector window and the private sector window, $708 million in funding has been allocated to countries and agribusiness projects. 7.9 million beneficiaries have benefited from that funding, most of whom are SMEs and smallhold farmers, and of which 42% are women. 55% of GAFSP fundings are going toward increasing agricultural productivity. And also, GAFSP has a focus on long-term solutions in agribusiness. So we'll be talking about some of the private sector solutions and today toward that end. And just as a point, something that we're very proud of, that every dollar of GAFSP private sector window investment leverages between $5 and $10 of additional private sector window investment. So it's an overall program, and now I'll just go into sort of showing you where we are and what we're doing. Oops, so I don't know how to advance it. Should I? Okay. So here's just the overall, what we're trying to do. The GAFSP program, as mentioned, was started. It was a request by the G20 as a result of the hike in commodity prices. And it was a response by global governments and donors to address the acute needs in agribusiness. The specific idea was to create a mechanism that funding could be channeled very quickly and relatively easily to countries to support their agribusiness investment plans. And in the broad scheme of things, we created both a public sector window and a private sector window. So the contributions, last point, are going toward the achievement of the Millennium Development Goals to cut hunger and poverty by half by 2015. So again, here's just the bigger picture. It's the public sector window and private sector window. So the U.S. is the largest contributor of the program. U.S. has contributed about $465 million. $444 million of it is in the public sector window. But the other donors have also contributed, Australia, Canada, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Ireland, Korea, Spain, and U.K. That funding came forward pretty quickly in 2010. It was only in April 2012, where we got substantial funding under the private sector window. And so there has been a lag in the sort of the operationalization of the private sector window, and that's what we're going to go into today. But by April 2012, we had about half of the $300 million pledged. That was by the U.S., Canada, and the Netherlands. And later that fall, we received also additional funding from the UK and from Japan. So IFC was selected then, or we stepped up to the plate, to be the supervising entity of the private sector window for GAFS. And as you know, I hope you're all quite familiar with IFC, but I'm going to go through some of the things that IFC does. IFC is engaged in working with private sector companies to try and deliver twofold. We're always looking for financial sustainability with projects and companies, and we're also looking how we can develop and deliver developmental impacts for that country. So just to step back, just to give you a view of what IFC is doing. So IFC is a member of the World Bank Group. What we accomplish and what we hope to do or we have been doing is creating jobs. That's how we see the private sector can have a huge development impact. We've reached 1 million farmers, 11 million patients, 5.5 million power customers. We are a financial institution. We are AAA rated and very well managed up to now. And our annual agribusiness program, we do about $4.5 billion of investment on our own in agribusiness. In addition to that, we have sort of another large strength, which is our ability to work with financial institutions. So on the 800, when we say financial institutions, that means we either are shareholders or we have long-term credit with 800 financial institutions. So our reach into the financial sector is very deep, and we can partner with those institutions in order to help us develop other areas, for example, agri-lending. IFC is both a long-term lender and we're an equity investor. Being an equity investor is actually quite unique for a DFI. Not too many DFIs do equity investments, but IFC does that. We also have an advisory services part of the house where when we are working on investments, we also support those financial investments with advisory services. And, of course, we're leading in the environmental and social. So here's just a picture of sort of where IFC is worldwide. We're almost 5,000 people. We have 100 offices throughout the world. So we do offer a unique platform. We can reach quite deeply, and we feel our strength is actually being in the field close to the clients. Now I'll just switch to the agribusiness sector. So as mentioned, IFC, we do about $4.5 billion of investments per year. We have a portfolio of about 250 companies in 56 countries, and our overall agri portfolio is about $6 billion. And I was mentioning to Joanna earlier that actually there was a point in time where IFC and the World Bank Group almost got out of the business of agribusiness. We saw the sector as being very risky. We also even decided, for example, we had a moratorium on any palm oil investments. We were actually deciding, because it was so risky, we didn't want to put the resources there. But there has been a major shift. And IFC and the World Bank Group now is moving into agriculture. We see that there's not only a huge need for agriculture financing, but the development impact is enormous. So we've made a shift, and partly what we've seen that IFC can make the shift is because we can find willing partners in the private sector who are willing to share the risks in agribusiness alongside with us. An example of that, for example, IFC recently has done quite a few investments with trading companies, Ecom, Olam, et cetera. Trading companies have stepped up to the plate and said that they want to have sustainable supply chains. And for that, they're willing to put resources toward all the capacity building, the additional training that they need for their farmers to be able to supply to them sustainable product. So when you see a willing partner in the private sector that is willing to do that, plus can comply with IFC's environmental and social standards, then we have a potential success story where we can work with them toward investing in agribusiness and also deepening their reach into more SME and smallhold farmers. In addition to our financial investments, we have advisory services. So right now in the agribusiness space, we have 96 projects worth about $106 million. Again, these are traditional, it's usually a cost sharing or an in-kind contribution from a company that we will then also support from some grant funding from donors to do additional capacity building or training for the constituents of the project. So, and just for our farmer reach numbers, just so you get the metrics, so in last year our reach was about 4 million farmers, and IFC is pretty good about actually tracking the number of farmers that we reach on each project. We have a system where we have an expected number of farmers that we'll reach in a project, and each year we receive reporting from the company to understand how we've reached that farmer level. We also have other metrics around productivity that we try and follow. So it gives us a good sense of how we're doing on each of the projects. These are the six themes that IFC is pursuing in private sector investment and agribusiness. We've developed these this year, and this is what we're going to pursue more deeply. So you'll see the six of them up in the corner is the smallhold farmers, and that's where we've positioned actually the GAFSBE program within IFC. So you have to think of it kind of two ways. GAFSBE has its own program goals. IFC is working in the private sector. The way we see how the private sector can leverage the GAFSBE platform is actually to work on projects that normally IFC couldn't do because of the high risk element and the fact that the projects might not be fully commercial. So we're able to reach those projects through the GAFSBE platform. In addition, we're using water as one of our sectoral themes. We're trying to do a global irrigation program. I can maybe answer some questions later on about that. Land, where we're seeing that in a project that has a large land component, we're not going to be shying away from those projects as we sort of did in the past. We're going to embrace those projects, and we're trying to understand the risks around them. We will uphold the principles of the RAI, the Responsible Agri-Investments, which very much go alongside our own principles, our environmental and social principles, but it enables us to deal with these projects and to sort of help mitigate the risks for private sector when there's a big land component in a project. Animal protein, we think that this is an area where we can bring best practice and investment to where it's needed, essentially moving into Africa and helping to do more animal protein investments. And that always goes back to then you have to have a grain supply and, again, the land. So it's if you're working on animal protein, it's not just one sector, but it actually moves back into many sectors in agribusiness. Smallhold farmers and inclusive supply chain. So later with some, I'll show you some examples of what we're doing specifically under that so you can get a sense of what we're doing. Urbanization and food safety, this is what we're seeing. This is an area, I think this is an emerging area for us. We don't have too many projects in this space, but we see the importance of it, so we'll be moving toward that. And nutrition and innovation, again, here's areas where we're hoping to move in, and we're even doing some projects under GAFSP to support either increasing nutrition in product that's available in the market, or supporting even some projects that ultimately are World Food Program projects, helping the production of the inputs for that World Food Program offtake. Again, I'm just going to go through. This is just so you see sort of where we are in the world. This is the breakdown of our investments and in the kind of sectors. So I guess the message is that we are global in nature and we're in every sector. Now just quickly jump, trying to get a little bit deeper into what we're trying to do under GAFSBE private sector window. So again, you know, IFC is a financial institution, so we always kind of start from, well, how much money do we have to invest, which is important. So we have about $300 million on the investment side, about $20 million on the advisory services side. So the interesting thing about this is that the donors under GAFSBE, as you see, the five donors have given IFC the funding and said, well, we don't want this as grant funding, but we want you to go invest this money for us. But you can invest the money and you can actually have softer terms. So in other words, we will co-invest. So every GAFSBE private sector window investment has an IFC component that is at purely commercial terms. And that is one of the tenets for IFC investments. IFC really prides itself on being a commercial investor. We want to see financially sustainable projects, and we don't want to distort markets through subsidy. However, in agribusiness, we recognize that there are many, many risks, and many of the risks are the result of having a sort of a common good that has to be shared among both private and public sector. So the concessional funding under GAFSBE can be structured so it's subordinate to a commercial lender or a commercial investor. And I'll show you some examples of that so we can get some meaning around that. But it gives us a very unique opportunity in the agri space to do things that IFC and, I would dare say, sometimes private sector on commercial terms wouldn't be able to do. In addition to that as being sort of a unique investment sort of opportunity, we know that these kind of investments need advisory services because of the high risk. And so almost all of the GAFSB investments also has a very large comprehensive advisory services program to help support that. Again, just to give you a better picture of where we are with GAFSB and what we're trying to reach. So, I'm sorry if this, for IFC, this is an important point. It may not be important for you, but it really, it shows that these activities are really in a special spot between sort of a full market activity of full IFC kind of market-ready commercial activity, which IFC will go and do, and much of that $4.5 billion worth of investment IFC does is fully commercial, and it can move forward. What we're seeing is that there is a small subset of projects that are in between. They're not quite commercial, but at the same time, we think can become commercial, because if we can get over the initial risks of the project, we're able to move forward. So we are saying that the GAFSB investments will be in this space. So I guess the result is that we give a very high scrutiny of the projects that we will fund and support with GAFSB funding, knowing that the funding is quite small and quite precious. There's not that much to it. But at the same time, what we want to do is to have a higher development impact with these particular projects. Again, so this is the way we are our principles around this, what we call blended finance solutions, blended between a private commercial business and a concessional business. We will undertake the project when we believe that there will be a higher impact, that we'll either reach more farmers, have higher productivity. We want to minimize the concessionality so we don't distort markets. We believe that the projects we're supporting under GAFSB will lead to financially sustainable companies over the long run, and we're trying to be very transparent about how we structure the projects, and when we use GAFSB funding on a project, we're quite transparent about that. So GAFSB is this funding mechanism that we can use actually pretty creatively within our investment teams, and we can go ahead and structure it in the ways that we see appropriate for the project. So that's between long-term debt, risk-sharing facilities, loans, first loss credit guarantees, and equity. And so far, we've actually had examples, I think, of all of these. I won't go into every single one, but we'll go through a few. Just so you know, I don't know if everyone's familiar with IFC's project cycle. So when working with IFC, we do a very thorough due diligence of working with our sponsors, reviewing the financials. People may complain that we are a little slow, but I have to say that many partners that we work with that come and do co-financing with us rely on our process and procedure because it's quite thorough. So we will never shortcut this process. And when we're doing, oh, I'm sorry, let me go through all these. When we go through this process, GAFSB funding will be along the way in all of these processes. So it's from the early review, due diligence, disclosure. We disclose every document you can find, not every document, but every project you'll see on IFC's website, commitment, disbursement, and monitoring. So I guess another lesson learned under GAFSB projects is, yes, we can identify them fairly quickly. We can even figure out ways to structure to mitigate some of the risks. But I have to say, on the monitoring and supervision, we're seeing that these riskier projects are taking even more resources for us at early years to help them get through those early risky years. If it's giving management support or giving support for the company to be able to perform on the environmental and social standards, we're willing to do that, and because of GAFSB, actually, we're able to give a little bit more support where needed. So after all of that, exhaustion, difficulty, hard to work with, why work with IFC? Because we have deep sector knowledge. IFC hires we have many agricultural specialists that we work with on every project. We are best in class for environmental and social standards. Many companies use these standards. Even when an IFC financing isn't involved, they'll use IFC's ENS standards. Our advisory services, in addition, can help support a project where needed. We are able to, through our stamp of approval, leverage in many more, much more financing. We are a member of the World Bank Group, and so oftentimes, and more so even now, we're working even more closely with our World Bank colleagues and under the GAFSBI program as well, when we have a public and private kind of coming together of looking at the risks and seeing how we can mitigate them. So we have a larger scope and reach when we're working with one particular project that can help the project's success. So that's a little bit of what IFC is doing, way we're positioning GAFSBI. So I want to just show you a couple of the projects that we've done. So Root Capital, maybe some of you are familiar with Root Capital. It's a social lender. It's an NGO. Today it doesn't make money. It's not profitable. What we've done with Root Capital, and we knew Root Capital very well. Chris and I actually went up there several times. But what we were able to do under GAFSBI is actually to look at Root Capital as an investee client rather than a recipient of grant money. We're saying, okay, Root, what we want to do with you is partner with you. Because Root Capital came to us and said, we want to take our Sustainable Trade Fund, which is their lending operations. They have a wonderful scheme where they reach missing middle SME farmers with lending. So they're someone in the business of giving lending to farmers that who normally wouldn't be able to access finance. And we were able to use a blended finance solution, which is a GAFSBI loan and an IFC loan, and having a differential in the pricing in order to support Root Capital. So $10 million to Root Capital. We're hoping also to mobilize other funding from FMO for a second tranche, if possible. And the idea is that Root Capital will take its business, which is a foundation and grant-dependent business, and move to a financially sustainable business. So over time, they're going to create a separate company that will be a commercial business that continues to serve the missing middle. So we see this as a huge change for them, and also signaling to the market that you can lend to farmers and be financially sustainable. You don't have to just stay in the niche sort of NGO space. Not that it's wrong, but over time, we want financial sustainability to create a lasting solution in this space. So we're very proud of this work. I have to say, it's a challenge. Root Capital this year has been a tough year for Root. They have very high exposure to coffee, which has had the market in coffee has been very difficult this year. So we're meeting with them on a very regular basis to see, while we thought that we would be able to reach that financial sustainability within 5 years, I think that we're gonna see that pushed out a little bit because of this year being a difficult year, so maybe in year 6 or 7. But again, we're interested in this space. IFC would never be able to make an investment in this space as a commercial investor without the GAFSBI funding, because our commercial funding and their risk profile, there's too much of a gap. But if we can, we're able to close the gap by blending it with the GAFSBI funding. Next project, I just want to talk about FDL, which is it's this Fondo de Desarrollo Local. It is in Nicaragua. It's a microfinance institution. Again, this is another, it's an institution that IFC knew, but again, we were not able to support because in commercial terms, their portfolio was too risky to be able to afford commercially priced funding. In Nicaragua, they got out of agri-funding because much of the agri-funding, the market kind of collapsed when the government was actually helping farmers to give forbearance or forget the loans. So in a sense, having a business model in the agribusiness space was very difficult. And so we are supporting FDL to move back into agri-lending. And again, it's going to be a blended solution, GAFSBI money and IFC money, to help support FDL get into agri-lending. So here you see it's unsecured loan by IFC, an A loan, a senior loan, unsecured. And GAFSBI instead will give a subordinated loan, so a higher risk loan in the order of lending that will be given to FDL. again, this is they are someone on the ground. They have that deep reach to SME and smallhold farmers, but in addition, they are also in the rural areas. This FDL is their strength, is their lending in the rural population. So we are hoping that with this funding, they'll be able to reach even more farmers going forward. Then to switch gears, I just want to talk about another type of funding. So the first two examples, in my view, were more working with financial intermediaries. This instead, Africa Juice, is a direct agri company. It's in Ethiopia. They're the first fair trade juice company in Ethiopia. They do passion fruit. Passion fruit, mango, papaya, passion fruit. And they were existing company. They already had operations. They ran into some management trouble. They changed their management team, and they came to us looking for more financing. And so, actually, this was a project that's a lot of lessons learned for us. We've had to give a lot of support to the company. While they had willingness to fulfill our environmental and social requirements, they needed some capacity and some help finding a consultant to help them deal with all the issues. So we're able to support them through that. In addition, so IFC and GAFSBI here are coming in as with convertible debt. So we will be supporting this project. We also mobilized FMO to support the project as well. And we also, through our negotiations, this company had a relationship with Dohler, which is a large off-taker, commercial off-taker in Germany. They buy the juice. Dohler came in as an equity stakeholder because of IFC's presence, FMO presence, and GAFSBI presence. So what we can do is this. We can take a company like this. We can look at what the risks are. We can help structure a package that will help them and at the same time give other investors comfort that we're there. So we're very proud about this investment. We actually closed this project in June. We got our approval in June, and we committed the project in October. So we're hoping that things will move forward there. These are the investment projects that I just wanted to give you a flavor about. The advisory services, these are the areas I mentioned before. IFC has the capacity here. TechnoServe is here in the room. They know IFC also. TechnoServe actually also helps to deliver sometimes their advisory services engagements. But in general, these are the things, these are the needs, especially when you're working with smaller companies. Oftentimes, these are the needs that they flag. And while IFC is willing to do this under GAFSBI private sector window initiative, I would say we're even more willing, recognizing these needs. So let me just go quickly through the areas that we have, in the agribusiness where we have solutions. Supply chain and community. Here I think is one of the hardest nuts to crack, and what many companies come to IFC to get help on. Large companies have strong supply chains. If they want to move into new markets, especially in Africa or riskier markets, they want to develop these, and we can help them on the ground developing some of these supply chains through training, through engagements. The environmental and social standards, again, it's sort of for us, it's a requirement that we can never move forward unless a company is compliant with our environmental and social standards. And I think we're even more committed. Recently, we've seen some projects that IFC has done in the agribusiness space where there have been some issues. And rather than running away from those projects, we're going to be committing even more resources and more scrutiny, looking at not only the risks within the project, but the risk within the country in order to address what might go wrong on a project. The resource and environment produce more with fewer resources. So this is more on the energy efficiency, climate resilient space. We're trying to do some things. Our global irrigation program that we're hoping to launch, we hope that this addresses some things here. Again, for us, we always come into these kind of big headline kind of issues with a private sector partner. So under the Global Irrigation Program, we are working with companies that create and make irrigation product and try and get them to move into markets where irrigation is needed. For example, in Africa, where very, very little land is irrigated, we want to try and bring them there. Then other areas of AS, we have a very strong part of our AS team that works on bank capacity building, because what we see in financial institutions, they're very reluctant to lend in the agribusiness sector. It's highly risky, and they really don't want to commit resources there. So we have several dedicated teams, actually, that work within a bank, so the bank to build the bank's capacity so they're able to assess agri-risk better and have the systems in place to do monitoring of those loans. We find that extremely helpful. Value chain financing, it's a little bit like the supply chain financing, where we have a lot of short-term financing solutions for banks or for financial institutions who want to do this kind of lending. A lot of the documentation is very, very specific around this area, and we can help banks about learning on how they can get that documentation in place and what they'll need to make it happen. And then finally, new lending products. So I guess that's one thing. IFC is always trying to innovate, always trying to look at solutions. So, you know, banks, agribusiness companies don't come to IFC simply because we're a funder. I mean, they can go to commercial banks for funding. What they come to IFC for is to actually help with solutions of riskier problems, moving into markets that are riskier. So they oftentimes need innovative solutions in this space, and so we do try and come up with them. I'm not saying, I mean, IFC is not, you know, at the forefront of every single area, but we have come up with some solutions, I think, that have been fairly compelling in this space. Finally, just maybe a couple of lessons learned that we've had. Just so you know, under the GAFSB private sector window to date, we've gotten approval for about just under 10 projects. So we've been able to mobilize of the GAFSB funding about, right now I think we're about $70 million. This year, by the end of this fiscal year, which is in June, we hope to have about 13 projects approved. But what I'm saying, I think if you may have gotten out of the presentation, we are being very cautious and very careful about the projects that we do support with the GAFSB funding. We want to ensure that we're going to have both a financially sustainable company, but that we'll also have that development outcome that we want. So the very top line, that blended finance process works, we've been able to prove to our board, to our shareholders, to our stakeholders that we can get some of these projects through that normally wouldn't be supported, that we are also trying to do more in this space, be innovative the way we structure the projects. The strategic relevance, I think the point is the GAFSB program has a large steering committee. The steering committee is actually comprised of donor governments, recipient governments, all of the DFIs, the World Bank, African Development Bank, and CSOs. So civil society sits on our steering committee, and I can tell you there was a high level of skepticism that IFC could deliver these kind of projects, knowing kind of, you know, what IFC has done in the past, you know, the image perhaps that we are fairly risk averse. So I think we were able to give some assurance that we are dedicating resources and time into this space to be able to support these projects because of the need and that we're doing it. Innovative structuring, I think, you know, unless you're a finance person, maybe it's kind of boring to understand all the structures that we're trying to do, but they are quite interesting, and it really does help the company in the end. They really are getting financial solutions that help them. We are able to get these structures in place, and we are also able to mobilize other funding in alongside IFC. So it's exciting for us to do that. And then the project size, in general, the project size on GAFSB have been much smaller than on the normal sort of project size of IFC. So we've demonstrated that we actually can move down to a smaller size project. And even though IFC has one process for every project that we do within IFC, there is a very large management and staff resource dedication to making these work. So I'm very pleased that we actually got some of the projects through. And then, you know, going forward, sort of our bigger challenge, and it's within the steering committee, and it's within maybe even your minds today, you know, how can we work better between the public sector and the private sector? GASPE has this dual role, public sector window, private sector window. I didn't spend much time about the public sector window. I mean, I'm hoping perhaps we can have another session on that because they've done a lot of interesting work. But it really is flowing money through governments and governments then doing their agricultural development work. What we are now trying to do is say, okay, with all that money flowing from GAFSB public sector window, how can we link that up to the private sector window? So in areas right now in Rwanda and Ethiopia, these are places where we're seeing, we have a lot of projects that we're developing now. The Ethiopia, the Africa juice is already on the ground. In Rwanda, we're looking at some very interesting projects, not only in dairy, but also in the production of nutritive food, kind of like, you know, breakfast bars. This is for World Food Program, seeing how we can work with the public sector entities through the GAFSB public sector window to link up and have a more impactful project. So missing middle solutions, I think in the earlier we were talking about missing middle, and that's what, you know, the way Root Capital describes itself, it serves the missing middle. Well, in general, GAFSB program, both the public sector window and private sector window, we're looking for ways to serve the missing middle. And while we are, I think we've satisfied the steering committee that the IFC investments are doing more for development than sort of an, I would say, traditional IFC investment in agribusiness, we still want to go deeper and still want to look for other solutions. So we're partnering with other parts of the steering committee, which include EFAD, World Food Program, and FAO, to try and come up with different mechanisms there also. So, yeah, what more can we do? Linking, you know, we keep trying to link companies, you know, through our interaction and our focus on private sector companies, how we can link them to the work of the GAFSB public sector window. We see the willingness and the need from the private sector side to have a lot of support that they're not willing perhaps to pay 100% from their pocket, so they're reliant on government programs or they're reliant on other programs to make a wholesale solution. And so we're even thinking about ways, you know, how can public sector window and private sector window, just going forward, how can these two windows be even more linked? So this is a challenge for us on the GAFSB program. So I'm going to end there. That's the end of my presentation. I hope I didn't overwhelm you with too many details on IFC, but I did want to give you a kind of a deep dive there, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Well, thank you so much. That's great. And I think this is by far the most detailed and descriptive session we've been able to have on this program. So it's really helpful. And just it causes me to reflect that even though food security has been really on the docket for the past 4 or 5 years, there are a lot of sort of startup time and effort processes that have had to take place to make this all work out. And so it's still really early days. And I think as I reflect back on the sort of dive in investments in the ag sector that took place in previous decades, what I always think about as we talk about food security is how do you ensure that this time we do it right, or that this time we do it differently, or that we consider all the different approaches that are actually going to help this be a permanent part of U.S. policy. And one of those things is, of course, results. But another thing is, I think, what you said when we were talking privately, which is that the private sector, agribusiness writ large internationally, is looking at the growing demand for food and figuring out ways to meet that demand. And that creates a whole new set of opportunities that I think you're trying to address here. And I'll open for questions in a minute, but I wanted to start out with just a couple of questions and thoughts, and I'm going to throw a whole bunch at you. Okay. You don't have to answer them all, but to maybe get our conversation going. I mean, my first question really is a very basic question. I'd be curious to find out, what are people coming to you for? What do they want? You know, it was so interesting. This is several years ago, but when the Millennium Challenge Corp stood up, all of a sudden, what countries said they wanted was infrastructure and agriculture, were two things that we hadn't really been focused on. So I'm curious, when you're hearing, now that you've got this window, what do people want to invest, you know, what they want your money to do? The second is sort of how you square the smallholder circle, because I know you've got a smallholder component to everything, but in the way you're interacting, you're bound to have to interact probably at a larger scale or more the medium-sized enterprises, and I'm wondering how you have approached that and how, you know, what you see coming out in terms of new ideas to bring those two pieces together. And then third, I know this is a very small piece of what you're doing, but the technical advisory services. I think probably everyone in this room is thinking about how to carry those out, because the heart of making smallholder farmers more successful, helping them feed their families, helping them have higher incomes, is really getting new technologies adopted, increasing productivity. It's a lot of changing the way people think and act and have access to different kinds of inputs and services. And you mentioned some food safety as one, which is a lot of training and technical advice. You mentioned, on your slides, you had post-harvest technology and processing as part of one of your innovations. You mentioned extension, which is hugely important, which we don't really talk about that much, but I think needs to be a much bigger part of our conversation going forward. And you also noted sort of mobile technology and using mobile technology to, I assume, distribute information. But that's an area where we talked about a lot probably 4 or 5 years ago, but haven't heard a lot about in terms of new innovations. And so that's a big slew of things. You can pick a couple if you'd like to speak to them, but maybe just to get us all thinking in terms of where this conversation is going and where it needs to go for these innovations to keep moving forward and really taking a permanent place in the development landscape.
Thank you. Yeah, I think maybe just by way of example, we'll illustrate some of these points. What are people coming to us for? And again, really knowing that people come to IFC, I think, to help them with risk mitigation, to be honest. I mean, they need funding, but we're not just a funding house. So when they're coming to IFC, the main driver in agribusiness is the environmental and social considerations. And having our performance standards is an important, and while we're very proud now, it's more of a value driver rather than a compliance type of exercise for companies. So we see this as squarely what they're looking for. And in that, then, oftentimes it comes into this advisory services. So the example I want to give is actually a project that we're just now kind of coming to finalization, and it's trying to address the coffee rust situation hitting Central America, La Roya. It's a fungus on coffee plants, and the way to eradicate it is actually introduction of new varieties, heavy replanting and heavy maintenance on farms, coffee plantations. So oftentimes, what we're seeing is pick any size farm. Large, medium, small, no one is doing enough as far as maintenance and renovation of their coffee plantations. So this project, we are partnering actually with IDB, with Ecom, with Starbucks, in order to provide long-term lending to farmers, 8-year loans to farmers, so that they're able to take on the renovation of their plantation. In addition to the financing angle, there's going to be a large technical advisory component, and that's because we want the adaptation of the farmers so they can understand how they have to do the replanting, how they can introduce the new variety onto their farm. So we will have to. We're really putting this together. These are very complicated projects because there's many stakeholders. They take a long time, a lot of effort. I was just meeting with the team lead in my office this morning. I wasn't going to say practically in tears, but it's exhausting. The work is very difficult because of the many balls that you have to kind of keep in the air. Again, we also see that if we don't get it right, if the first years of the replanting activity and the renovation activity are not successful, to be honest, these farmers who are today not making money, they will go into deep poverty. I mean, already they're poor. They will be at below subsistence level. So the urgency is very high, and the way that we approach it is, okay, this is a sector that is of strategic importance to Nicaragua, and we want to be able to bring in private sector companies to help a strategic problem for that country. again, I guess what we're good at IFC is having our eyes wide open and seeing all the risks. Under the GAFSBI program, what we know, we have a little bit more funding available in order to help support all the uptake of the sort of the technology or the changes in maintenance, the changes in behavior that the farmer is going to have to make in order to make this a success. So we are, you know, fully prepared to put in additional supervision, additional technical assistance that we know we need. And if we're not able to mobilize that at the beginning, we know that actually the likelihood of success is quite low. So I think, you know, companies are coming to us. And now I think what we're seeing a little bit of evolution. So under GAFSBI, our first sort of request was to look at and work with smaller sized companies. And we did that. I think the first year we did all the projects that we worked with were smaller sized companies. Now we're actually seeing on the global agri players, large companies, you know, like the Unilevers, the Heinekens, the, you know, e-coms, large players in the agribusiness space have the need to have a sustainable supply chain that they can point to and that they can rely on. They're coming to us again for the solution of the environmental and social platform and to have the larger, I mean, I call inclusive business model, where they can have along their value chain, they can have their farmers that are going to be part of the value chain. Where they may have developed it in one country, they're coming to IFC to go to a new country where they have not worked before. So into the countries that are difficult for them. So they come to us because we've worked in those other countries and we know sort of the landscape, we know the players, we know perhaps we have a relationship with a bank in that country so that we can mobilize the different components that company is looking for. So they're looking for a combination of being able to mobilize finance and also being able to help with their supply chain. So that's what we're seeing right now. I think, you know, the last point on mobile technology, I mean, IFC has, in general, we have a variety of investments in this space. We have not done any particular investments under GAFSBI yet, but we'd be very interested in doing that. Clearly, it's an area where we see huge gains of information, access to information for the farmer, and you know, it's very innovative. I mean, between sort of information from, say, a seed company to help the farmer know when to do the planting, et cetera, to the other information that's important is around insurance and risk insurance. And if you can get collection data or even the data that's needed to build up the models to understand the behavior of the farmer as well as the weather patterns so that, I mean, again, that's a big challenge area for us is how to introduce more and more index-based insurance into markets where we just don't have enough data so that mobile device can help kind of fill that gap of information. We would love to do more in that area. We're not right now seeing that so much. That's not the ask. I think right now the ask is maybe, you know, in the large supply chains, they need help with their E&S. I think that's a big ask. If instead we're thinking about financial institutions, they need risk mitigation. They need, for example, guarantees, partial credit guarantees, in order for them to take on more agri lending because that book of business is just very, very risky for them, and they don't want to go into that space without some risk mitigation from IFC or from other private sector.
Thanks. That's very helpful. And I'm always reminded, you know, the Holy Grail is scaling up, but yeah. This is a place where scaling up is very, very difficult very and it's difficult. Risky and it's going to take time.
Yeah.
Why don't we turn, what we'll do is gather a couple of questions and just sort of throw a couple at you at a time. Why don't you go ahead and start?
I think people can hear without the microphone. That's helpful if you can just flip it on. Don't worry too much about it.
Can everybody hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for the presentation. Two of your three examples were about microcredit lending to small farmers. And I wanted to know, what is it that IFC and GAFSBI are doing with these credit organizations, lending organizations, that takes them from being unsustainable, donor-driven models to being sustainable and profit-making models? That'd be a very good service for all of us to know that secret.
Could you comment on the stimulus that you were affecting in the private ownership of land from the locus of a particular project throughout the regulatory regimes, if any, in the local and regional settings, especially as they affect growth of your value chains?
So I think really it's the root capital model, because FDL right now is a, you know, it is a microfinance institution that is up and running and is quite solid and is a, you know, it's a commercial business. So it's root capital. It's the, that's the NGO that we're working with. So I can assure you that it was the first time root capital ever really saw a commercial lending document. So just from the point of view from that, for them to understand what it takes to deal with a commercial lender. That was sort of lesson one. What we've been encouraging them to do is, you know, we look at that, the way we look at that kind of investment, they are like a financial institution. They're a financial intermediary. How we can get them more efficient. So efficiency is what we're working on. And in addition, it's risk, their risk management. So we are engaging with them on a comprehensive advisory service program around risk management of their banking risk. They do all dollar loans right now, so they don't have a FX risk at the moment, but it's more interest rate risk and how they're doing their provisioning, like any kind of commercial lender. We're giving them kind of, you know, advisory services in that area. And then finally, the other thing we're pushing them toward is looking at their staff and even their board and sort of saying, you know, if you really want to move into a space where you're going to be a commercial lender, let's look at your board and who is actually governing you as a company, and moving, maybe introducing a banker on the board, for example. We're hoping that they do that. So we want them, you know, we think of them, actually we're quite comfortable with their model and approach, because in some ways IFC is quite like that. I mean, IFC is a commercial business, and at the same time we have a social mandate. So we have no problem. And we have two parts of our house where the investment side, we're making money, where we're financially sustainable, but our advisory services business is a donor-based business. So we're actually, you know, from our own point of view, we kind of know this model, and we believe it can work. Root capital is just something that's moving from a much more donor-based model into a much more commercial-based. So, and they will always have a donor component. They're only bringing one part of their business outside of that sort of NGO umbrella. So they will always have sort of a foundation-based. All their technical assistance will be foundation-based, and then their higher-risk investment areas will continue to be, you know, funded through either grants or for foundation money. But it's this one area where we think that they have enough scale, and that's, I think, the difference between Root Capital and the other NGOs in the lending space, for the agri-lending space, is they are among the largest. So you have to have some scale, which they are succeeding in, and they, you know, what we're trying to do with them, which is the challenge, is move them out of coffee, where they were strong in that supply chain of coffee and in Central America, and how they can move to other commodities and in other countries. So it's, again, when you're thinking about, you're changing commodities, changing countries, and building out a platform, it's all very risky. We see that, but we do believe in their management team and seeing that they're building up their management capacity in the right ways. So the other question, I hope that's sufficient. Yeah. The other question was on the private ownership of land. I'm not certain if I understood, but...
And I think sort of, are you seeing regulations and regulatory environments change?
Yeah. So, you know, again, for us at the IFC, we sometimes get into the regulatory area of some of these areas for land, et cetera, but we also often rely on our colleagues at the IBRD, the World Bank. And so while we're trying to have better conversations, to have a sort of a virtuous circle of information to say, what does the private sector need as far as easing regulations and making it more sort of investor friendly, you know, versus what can actually get through that country's regulatory system. What we're seeing on going forward, and I mean, this is an aspiration and has always been an aspiration of the World Bank Group to be working together. I think right now, under our new leadership at the World Bank, we're driven even more. So as a compelling, we have to work together. And in agribusiness, we have to work together because we're seeing private sector companies come to IFC. They want funding, they want financing, they want support. And what they want to do is actually probably they have an extremely large concession agreement from the government to use the land. And so we are working with teams where it's not just an IFC team anymore, but it's an IFC World Bank team. And the World Bank team will be working with the governments in order to help with any regulatory issues. So I'm sorry if I can't be too more specific on it, but I can say that in this area we see it as very important in the agribusiness space. And the way we're approaching it is having larger stakeholders on these private sector investment projects than we normally would have in order to address some of the issues on the regulatory side.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, I have a question.
Yeah.
You need a galaxy. You need legal support, you need financial support. And some people have been looking at using public-private partnerships as a way of sort of bridging that gap.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering what your thoughts are in terms of, you know, you talk about sort of consulting services and how you might actually play into the public-private partnership and sort of bridge that gap between profit and non-profit.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
ahead.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, no, I think that is where we are in with the GAFSP private sector window, and that's what we're trying to identify. So the difficulty is to strike the balance between, you know, who should pay for some of these public sector goods, right? The private sector companies, while they're willing to work with us, I have to say they're always hoping for a grant, believe me. They're always hoping for a grant. And under GAFSP, the way we are today, we can't give grants. I mean, we're not giving grants, right? We'll invest with you. We'll even take a stake in your equity. Oh, and that's the other challenge on the NGOs. The NGOs can't issue equity, right? So this is another big challenge. Like, how can you actually invest in an NGO? You can't. So we actually kind of try to broker the project a little bit more aggressively in the sense of saying, you know, we're all at the table, we all want to make this work, and who's going to contribute what? And so we're pushing within our institutions. You know, we're struggling as far as how much support can we give, given the constraints and given the fact that we don't want to just be able to give the grant. And the private sector on the same time is coming back and sort of saying, you know, we're willing to go this far, but we're not going to jump over, you know, this gap of the grant. So what I think our best solutions can be sometimes when there is grant money available, which is plenty of grant money available, to get it used in a smart way. So maybe smart subsidies. So bringing the players together. On one project that we're working on, there's a company called AgDevCo, which is actually an interesting, they're almost sort of in the space where GAFSP private sector window is, but they have a little more flexibility. They can give what they call patient capital. So, it's kind of equity without any kind of equity return at the end. And so we're working with them to see if on some projects there's sort of a space where they can contribute their kind of funding that's available, that IFC, GAFSP can come in on one end, and then what ideally we'd love to have GAFSP public sector window be able to support our private sector. But it is a huge challenge. That's all I can say. Yeah, but brokering it more than we were, being really active brokers in that conversation, I think that's what we see as the what we can try and do differently.
My question is, looking at Africa, you've talked of two countries there, Ethiopia and Rwanda. I come from Kenya. I have three projects. I have projects on fish farming. I have projects on quail, which is now the cold in Africa. And we have the actual chicken and other fresh fruits and vegetables. What do you person or how do you look at before you select or before you say we want to work with this company in this country or this organization mm-hmm. in this country, and who selects the company or the organization that you will be working with? like me. So I would be waiting, writing papers, 100 or 500 papers, and maybe nobody wrote a paper, but you just say, this is the company we want. Maybe because that person has a good relationship with you, as they say, you must know somebody or you may know somebody. How do you person or what do you person or how, I don't, you know, looking at my own projects, I'm promoting my company. How do I work with you direct, even if you are not giving me money? What would you look on? You know me now? Or you have heard about me, or I attend World Bank annual meetings to have that criteria. What selection do you person on? How can we work together? As I told you, one of the companies that wrote a missing middle to IFC, to World Bank, to work with them looking at SMEs and small farmers, which I focus on. But after several meetings at the end, it was that we are a small company. We can't have startup money. And this is what we are talking about now. And looking at technology, we need power to get more accessible to what we are talking here now, irrigation, farming, and whatever. Do you find such a things or... But the main thing is, how do we work together to make this done with my farmers in Kenya? I'm more into rural area, power and everything. I'm not into urban. So how do we work together with you as civil society, as a Kamban, or as an organization? Thank you.
I guess my question has to do with when we're talking about tech transfer and then even, you know, knowledge transfer or private... public-private partnerships, and I'm wondering, have you had experience working with either hard or soft intellectual property issues as tools in those processes, I guess?
Okay, sure. So, yeah, how to work with IFC. So I think, you know, that's where we start. Our start point normally is a business plan, and we need to have a business plan. IFC does not have funding available, by and large, in the agri space to fund business plans or business plan development, but there are other places where you can get it. In the agri space, actually, U.S. Is now supporting it's called Fast Start Initiative through the African Development Bank. There's funding available for funding pre-feasibility studies. So something like that, I would say, if you need, you know, market study or pre-feasibility studies, that's a place where you can look for that kind of funding. We can't do it under what we're doing with our financing right now. But coming to IFC, as mentioned with the map, we've got offices. We have large offices in Kenya and in many countries in Africa. So normally, we receive many, many business plans in a year. We assess those business plans. But what the other thing, besides looking for a good business idea, we're looking for quality sponsors, and we're also looking for a sponsor to be putting in substantial investment into the plan. I mean, IFC, as I said, we can take equity stakes in projects, and we can do long-term lending. So we are willing to put in equity investment when we see that also the partner is putting in substantial financial risk, because really IFC is putting a lot of money at risk in these partnerships. So I would say that under the GAFSI private sector window, we do have an opportunity to work with smaller companies, but we do need to start with that business plan. That's the way we can assess it. And while we are not shy to look at greenfield brand new projects, we would like to be able to at least understand if the sponsor has a track record of success of running a project, right? So we need that. So normally IFC, in a normal business, we'd look for 3 years of financial performance of a company, but under GAFSI, that's not a requirement, but we do need to see some kind of evidence of ability to manage something. Yeah, I would say those are some of the components that we're looking for, and you know, I encourage if you have good ideas and good projects and willing sponsors, you know, we would love to be looking at those. On the tech transfer and the intellectual property rights, I have to say I have not worked on those projects right now under GAFSI. IFC, we have worked with things like that in different types of projects. So it is something that we will look at and we're familiar with as part of, you know, when we're engaging. So it's not something we're unfamiliar with. And clearly we see that it's important in some of these tech startups. I mean, in addition to you know, IFC in technology, we do actually have a strong team that does a lot of technology investments. And if you, I mean, I'd be happy to get you in touch with our technology team. I mean, there is some overlap. We have looked at some of these high-tech companies in the agri space. We haven't invested in any yet. So far, we have oftentimes, you know, GAFSB is working only in the lowest income countries. And oftentimes, a lot of the high technology innovation is not, it's not being moved yet to these low-income countries. We're not seeing that yet. So we're seeing a lot of the high-tech investment still in, for example, in India, which is a place where it's an interesting, huge market. There's a lot of interesting technology companies there in agribusiness, but that's outside of the GAFSB focus, so we haven't been able to look at that. But I'd be happy to connect you with the people at IFC looking at that. Yeah.
Great. Well, I think that was a good overview, so I think we'll try to wrap up here. Thank you for giving us this overview of what's happening to date, what you think is coming up. I think it was hugely interesting and informative and a really good starting place for a lot of additional conversations. Thank you, Chris, for helping us to organize. Thanks all for being here. Great. And let's give Laura a hand.
Thank you. Thank you very much.